Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter on Bible Answers. Bible Answers is sponsored by the Biblical Church of God and is designed to bring you the answers for today's Christian living right from the pages of your Bible. Is it possible to be a homosexual and to be a Christian? That is a very important question that we need to face, that we need to answer, that we need to ask, that we need to realistically look at in a positive and proper way and from the pages of the Bible. Did you know that unless the Bible were given by God to mankind as a way to run and direct his life, that there would be no mode of morality that could be discerned by human beings? Because you see, sexuality and human beings and human sexuality cannot be discovered by experiment. What is right and what is wrong, and what is moral and what is immoral, is not determined by human beings. It is really, in fact, determined by God, because God Almighty is our maker and creator, and he is the one who has made us. God is the one to tell us what is right and what is wrong. God is the one to show us the way that we ought to live our lives. And of course, it's virtually impossible to separate true Christianity and sexuality. Because you see, true Christianity and sexuality is wrapped up in the way of life that God has given just as much as the rest of the commandments of God. Now, in the United States, there's a tremendous movement to legitimize homosexuality, make it look good, make it sound good, dress it up in fine display clothing, and bring it out to the public and say, here we are. Please love us. Please accept us. We're working on trying to overcome our guilt, and we want to accept ourselves. And we are tired of being put down by the straight community. And so they have various organizations called Dignity Incorporated, Quest in England, Acceptance in Australia, Brothers of Jonathan in Korea, David and Jonathan in Paris, Dignitate in Spain, and in Canada, there's the Commission of Gay Christians. Now, you know, those who are supposed to be professing and propounding and preaching the Christian faith are also saying that homosexuality is good. Even having homosexual church services where they sing songs like Amazing Grace, and they will know we are Christians by our love. And so the sermons then deal with human rights and reiterate that the Bible does not denounce gays, but it does denounce acts against love and spirit. Well, we will see whether the words of this minister is really true. Does the Bible denounce homosexuals and homosexual acts? Or are they condoned as something that is good? Well, we will see, because that is an issue that we have to face right from the Bible to know and realize and understand where we are and where we are going in this world. They even go so far as to claim that the great sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was not sexual acts, but the inhospitality toward people. And then in this article that was in one of the local newspapers lately, it also said that the Apostle Paul equates idolatry and homosexuality the same. In other words, there's no difference between idolatry and homosexuality. And then one of the persons went on to say, the Bible shouldn't be taken literally. Now, that is the first step that has to be taken. The first step to justify any sin, whether it's homosexuality, or whether it's murder, or whether it's lying, or whether it's cheating, or whether it's stealing, or whether it's committing adultery, whether it's taking God's name in vain, whether it is having idols to bow down to, it must first be justified. And the first way to justify it is to say that the Bible doesn't mean what it says. Now, I'm here to tell you on the authority of the Bible that it does mean what it does say. And Jesus Christ means what he says. And one of the greatest justifications for homosexuality is saying, well, there's promiscuity in the straight community, quote unquote, and with heterosexuals, quote unquote. And then it has to be justified by saying, well, the fundamental thing is to love God and get to heaven. How do you love God? Do you know? Do you know what the Bible says? This is the love of God. Well, the Bible says in 1 John, the 5th chapter, that this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Now, let me ask you a question. Can you dignify murder? Can you dignify thievery? Can you dignify lying? Can you dignify coveting? Can you dignify adultery? Does all of the legalization of human beings, whether they make adultery, prostitution, homosexuality, or any of the sex acts that humans have been known to commit, if man legislates and says it's right, is it, in fact, right before God? Well, let's analyze some of the things that God has to say. First of all, the Bible does condemn homosexuality. And let's go back and we will see that God does. And in this society and in the days that we are living in, we are not coming to a new morality, or we are coming to an old morality inspired by the same immoral spirit that has always been there. And that is the spirit of Satan the devil. And of course, one of the things that he would like to do is make it appear Christian. Now, can you make murder appear loving? Now, how would you make murder appear loving? Let's see, how would you do it? Would you just give them poison? Would you lie them down and give them an anesthesia and put them to sleep and then quietly cut their wrists? Does that dignify it? Of course not. It's ridiculous. You cannot dignify sin. Sin is sin, whether it is sloppy or whether it is professional. It is still sin. And that's why the Bible has been given to show us what is right and to show us what is wrong, that we may know, because there's no other way we can know unless we read it from the pages of the Bible. And anyone coming to you in the name of God or in the name of Christ and saying that such abominable things as homosexuality is good, God didn't send them. They can take the name of Christ all they want, but it is in vain. And you know, there are going to be some people very angry at me because of bringing this program. Very angry at me and say, well, you don't love people. Yes, I do. But God shows us what is right and what is wrong. And just as people desire to have freedom of speech so they can publish anything they want, say anything they want, sing any song they want, so there is the right of freedom of speech in the United States for the Bible Answers program to say what it wants and needs to say. And so before we get all angry, and before we get all upset, and before we get all of our emotional glands involved, let's go to the Word of God and see what God's Word says. Does God condemn homosexuality? Yes, he does. And sooner or later, there comes a time in condemnation that you cannot separate the person and the act. Now, we'll see that a little bit later on. God does call all sinners, and everyone is a sinner. So to justify homosexuality on the grounds that other people are sinning is really, in fact, admitting that it is a sin. Because two wrongs still equal two wrongs. Two wrongs don't equal a right. Because people murder and kill, does that make murder and killing right? Because people lie and cheat and steal, does that make lying, cheating, and stealing right? Does it make it something that you or I as individuals should do? Does it make it good? Does it make it wholesome? Does it take away from the hurt and pain and disaster that happens because of those things? Of course not. Therefore, neither does trying to dignify such abominable acts as homosexuality. Now, God shows in the Bible that marriage is what God designed. And there are a lot of people, because of sins in marriage, that cannot make marriage work. So does that mean that marriage is no longer good? That marriage is no longer right? That true and proper love between a man and woman is now undignified? Because some people's preference is to have erotic pleasure in those of their own sex? How far have we left God as a society and as a people? And you know, God says very clearly that one of the jobs of a minister is to cry aloud and spare not. Back here in Isaiah 58 is a tremendous scripture which shows what must be done. And God raises up the people to show what sin is and to bring it from the very pages of the Bible. God says here in Isaiah 58 and verse 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. And you know, one of the things that Bible Answers has to do is to do that, to show people their sins. What for? To make them feel bad? To put them down? To condemn them? No. But so that they may have ears to hear, and that they may repent, and that they may change, and that they may turn to God with all their heart and mind and soul and being, and that their lives can be made right through Jesus Christ and the very blood of His sacrifice and His giving of His life for all who have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so before we get into this topic and subject of homosexuality and how God views it, we need to have this perspective straight in our minds, that sin still is sin. And sin must be repented of. And so one of the jobs as a minister that we have to do is to cry aloud and spare not. Why is there such a thing as homosexuality? Well, there are excuses where people say they were born homosexual, but it really isn't so. Homosexuality is a preference of erotic behavior. That's what it really is. And, of course, living with the situation for years and years and years, something happens to justify in our own minds the behavior that we have. And that's why people come to the conclusion that they have been from birth homosexuals. But God, in doing that, would then condemn people to a sin. God does not condemn people to sin. They choose to sin. They choose to do what they do. And yet God also gives them the choice to repent and to change. Why do we have so much homosexuality today? Well, it goes back several generations when we, as a people, rejected God. Because when people reject God and begin accepting deism, begin accepting pantheism, begin accepting all religions, aside from the religion that is in the Bible, as the right way, as a good way, as an acceptable way, then certain penalties take place. Those penalties are sin and wickedness, murder, crime, homosexuality, adultery, depravity, and all of those things come upon a society as a result of turning its back on God and rejecting God. Let's turn to Romans 1 and verse 24. Because they have rejected God, God gave them also up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And then it says in verse 26, for this cause, because they didn't worship God, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the created and people worship and serve their own bodies more than they do God. And for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust. There can be no such thing as homosexual love. It is lust. And we will see that if a person continues in sin, ask this question, will a sinner ever be in the kingdom of God? Not just homosexuals, but sinners. If they don't repent, they won't be in the kingdom of God. So likewise, men also, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was fitting. For even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, reprobate means void of judgment, void of truth, void of understanding. That's why they have to try and pull themselves up by their bootstraps, dignify it, say it's good, say it's right, try and justify what they're doing, live with themselves without fear. You know, perfect love from God casts out all fear, and this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. So even as they didn't retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Then what happens? Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy and murder and debate and malignity and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful and proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. And that's where we are in the society today, isn't it? And you know, this is what happened to the ancient Roman Empire because they did the same things. And so when that happens to any society, it's in trouble. This society is in trouble. And God is reaching out through the power of His Spirit to call and to change people from their way of life to God's way, to living by every word of God. You know, in order to understand the love of God, in order to understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we've got to come to Him in repentance and an attitude of asking God to help us to reach down and cleanse our minds and our hearts, to wipe these things from our minds and our very beings. You know, Jesus Christ came to heal the brokenhearted. Some of these things that I'm talking about now and some of the things that I'm reading to you right out of the pages of your Bible are the things that cause the broken hearts and minds and spirits of people today. Why do you think that there is so much in the way of need of psychologists and psychiatrists? Because we have jumped the tracks of sanity long ago as a civilization. But unfortunately, though they are intending to do well, and in many cases they can help people recover to a seemingly normality in their thought, no one can recover to the right and proper thinking unless they understand about God, because God is the one who made our minds and our hearts and our lives and our beings, and He is the one to tell us what is right and what is wrong. And so the greatest thing we can do is turn to God and live His way. Because if we don't and reject God, then the inevitable results of the society, and which will come pouring and heaping in on our lives in sorrow and wretchedness and misery, is all listed out right here for us. And so then we become without understanding and covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God. And there was a time when people knew the judgment of God, and don't all of those who try and justify themselves and say that homosexuality and Christianity are compatible? Don't they know the judgment of God? Don't they have to read in the Bible and see where God condemns it? Don't they have to try and justify it and say that, well, you can't take the Bible literally? Yes, you can, and you had better take the Bible literally, because that's the way that it's going to be. And there is no turning back on that. In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that no homosexual is going to be in the kingdom of God. It just isn't going to be. It's like saying that a murderer is a non-murderer. Now that doesn't make any sense, does it? All right, let's read 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. It says, "Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" So this is not just a diatribe, an attack on homosexuality. That's one part of it. And that's a tremendous and great cause of the problems and difficulties and sins that we see in the world around us today. But that is only the result of the cause of rejecting God. And that's what we need to repent of. We as a people need to repent of rejecting God, of rejecting His Word, of transgressing His commandments, because neither will idolaters be in the kingdom of God. Neither will homosexuals be in the kingdom of God. Neither will liars and cheats and those who steal. So we need to understand it. God isn't picking out and singling any one group or category of people. God is saying that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there needs to be a repentance, and that has to begin on an individual basis. And that has to be when you come to your senses, as it were, and God's Spirit moves you to understand and see what your life is like. And then turn to God and ask for His mercy and forgiveness. The Apostle Paul said, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." What he says, you get your own Bible and you read it. "Do not be deceived, neither fornicators," and that is any kind of sexual licentiousness and uncleanness and abominable behavior before God. "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you. But you were washed, you are sanctified, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And that's where we need to come to today. That's how we can turn the tide of sin back in our lives. By turning to God, by turning to Jesus Christ, and letting that sacrifice of Jesus Christ blot out your sins, and do just as Jesus said, "Go and sin no more." And that's where it's at, folks. That's where it's at with God. That's what the Bible says, and no one can have reconciliation to God without repentance. And no one can know the love of God unless they turn to God in an attitude of yielding to God, asking God to forgive their sins, to blot out their iniquities. And that's what this program, Bible Answers, is dedicated to doing, to helping, to showing, to teaching, to leading, to helping you see and know and understand God. But in that, we also have to know and understand what is right and what is wrong and what is sin and what is righteousness. And part of that, we have to really sit down and say, God is always right. And God's way is good. And God's way is fine. And God's way is right. And we need to turn from our sins. And we need to turn from the wretchedness of our lives and turn to God with all that is in us. And you get on our mailing list and you read the very important articles and literature and material that we will have coming. We also have a whole cassette ministry which covers many in-depth and tremendous subjects in the Bible. And if you want, you can write for our list of subjects that we have for this cassette ministry and service to you. Jackson. This is Fred Coulter saying goodbye, everyone.
The Canadian Office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6B5B2. Australia, GPO 1574, Sydney, 2001. Auckland, New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai, 2981. Nigeria, Post Office Box 1174, Uyo, that is UYO, 520001, Akwa Ibom State, Nigeria, West Africa. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, CM81WZ. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Willoro, WILRO, Park, Republic of South Africa, 1731.